So, we are in last week. We discussed the Chavos Levavos addressed the question of who is greater, about tshuva or a tzaddik meikara. And he said that about tshuva, who merely sinned, not merely, but sinned in not so serious way, for lack of fulfilling a mitzvah asay, and they were lax with tzitzis and lulav and sukkah, and then they do tshuva and they decide that for now when we are going to take tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah seriously. So on that, the Gemara says that it's like they never sinned at all. It's like they never sinned, because it wasn't really a sin that they did something negative. A negative is like a poison. Not doing a positive, and it wasn't vice versa, out of rebellion. So just not doing a positive mitzvah of laziness or ignorance, that is not so serious. And once you do tshuva, it's like you never sinned at all. What, however, if you did an aveira, which is more serious, a lav, a person who was over an aveiris, but aveiris kalois, a person did sins, but not death penalty sins, but lavin, which are serious, very serious, but not death. So he ate chazer and shaved the razor and wore shatnas and spoke lashon hara. A lot of other things. So here, if this person does tshuva, it's not like he never sinned. But on the other hand, if he does tshuva shlema, that person is like, he's higher than a tzaddik. Why? Because the Chovos Levavos paints us a true picture what about tshuva is. That's why I'm repeating it from last week, because it's something for us to remember. And that is the true picture about tshuva. Tshuva is not something casual or sporadic, one time. The Baal Tshuva is the person who fulfills, like David HaMelech said, Chatosi Negdi Tomid. My sin is in front of my eyes forever. The Baal Tshuva is eternally filled with guilt, remorse, pain, and perhaps most of all, shame, humiliation over the sins he committed. And wherever he goes, he says, I ate treif. I went to McDonald's. I was on the internet where I shouldn't have been. I did all kinds of aveiros. I should be ashamed of myself. I have filthied myself. I have sullied myself. I'll never be the same. And because he thinks he's never going to be the same, he's not going to never be the same. He becomes something better. The more he's aware of the filth of the chait, because he has faith that it's real, it's not just a metaphor. Like the Chavetz Chaim said, when he saw somebody stealing in the mikveh, if you steal, you leave the mikveh filthier than when you came in. The whole purpose of going to the mikveh is a washa, a bathhouse, you'll leave it dirtier. So the Chavetz Chaim, the schmutz of a chait was more real than the schmutz of a dirty collar. So, when a person is about tshuva like that, that they're never, so the question is, when does about tshuva, famous joke, when does about tshuva come in FFB? When is he always about tshuva? You know, he starts talking in shul, that's how the joke goes. When does about tshuva come in the voice? When he starts talking in shul, then he's not about tshuva anymore. Well, it's half correct. He's not about tshuva anymore, he starts talking in shul. That's true. But it's not grace of glick to be like the FFBs. Because the Baal Tshuva can be bigger than the FFBs. And that is because the FFB says the Chayv Levavos. He says the Tzaddik said, sometimes a chait for the Baal Tshuva helps him more than the Tzidkus helps the Tzaddik. Because sometimes the Tzidkus of the Tzaddik hurts him. It's to his disadvantage. Because the Tzaddik, who's always a Tzaddik, is filled with arrogance. He can't surrender to Hashem. He is also a shtickle hypocrite. He's tzvius. He's looking for praise. And he's very happy to be honored by the school dinner as the parent of the year. I hate that. I despise these dinners. I'm telling you, this is so false. This whole system is so corrupt. I have no words for it. The more I think about it, I get the chills. Mom, I'm saying it right now. I get, I don't know, be doubtless. Everybody's trying to be Jewish and building Jewish education. This false shagayish zachen. There's lots of things in our educational system which are taken from the goyim. In the Hebrew also, the Hebrew, in the Lashon HaMudi Kodesh, and the way they raise money. The yeshivas have much more atzlach if they wouldn't do this kind of stuff. All the yeshivas, the big ones, the little ones. And you know what? Brisk doesn't do it, and Brisk has all the money they need. And David Salvechik, Shlita, I never learned them, I wish I did, I was in Zeicha. So, Brisk, he just built himself a beautiful building in Gush Monim. And you know what? He never had a fundraising campaign, never chanfed anybody, never flattered anybody, never had a dinner, never had a journal. And somehow Brisk supports themselves without a piece of stationery. And they keep their whole cheshbonis inside of a cigarette wrapper. Takes out the cigarettes and they smoke over there. And this really can still smoke. And that's how they run the place. That's the way to run. And if you run after people with this parent of the year, and alumnus of the year, and then the chveiswas of the year, everything of the year, of the month, of the week, a guy is no good. I told you, Chavetz Chaim said, you're not allowed to honor people publicly, because the minute you make him the parent of the year, I'm going to say the parent of the year. That's schmanz. What chance do you have a parent of the year? And all I do that, you mamash machshel me in Lashon Hara, says the Chavetz Chaim, because everyone's going to say, that's the parent of the year. That's the parent of the year. You know where he was last week? Shabbos. You only went on vacation last week. You know, they had the jewelry show in Las Vegas. Well, let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about the jewelry show in Las Vegas, when I saw that guy last week in the jewelry show. There was a jewelry show in Las Vegas last week. Yeah, that's true. Of course, Shmaya was in his room, locked in his room the whole day. He didn't walk out for a second. Of course, nothing you can do with your room in Las Vegas. But anyway, the kids, it's bad. So he says, the tzaddik meikara is in big trouble. Because the person who's always a tzaddik, when they say, please be the parent of the year, he says, shouldn't we be parents of the century? I mean, is parent of the year enough for us? Is it parent of the year, parent of the decade?
Millennium.
It's a parent of the year. I mean, next year someone's equal to us. So the kitzer says the Chavetz Chaim, sometimes, being a tzaddik your whole life is not in your best interests. Because you're looking for shvach, you enjoy praise, you think it really is coming to you. It's about time they woke up. And you can be a rabbi and say, well, you know, it's about time they did something in my honor around here, you know? Yeah, it's about time they should dedicate a Sefer Torah around there, put a plaque up for me, put a sign up, the wing, the foyer wing of the shul over here, to be very nice, you know, the foyer, maybe when you come in, the foyer vestibule, and you know, it's coming to me, I've been here, you know, I'm excited.
Parking space.
Well, you know, when I first came, it said reserved for rabbi foyer, I had to cut the foyer part, at least for the rabbi, okay, that's good, parking space I gotta have. I don't have a parking space, I can't come in here a lot of times. It's very bad not to have a parking space available. But today, don't take off the foyer part, just leave the rabbi part. But the kids are, the problem is a lot of people think they're the rabbi here, so often, you know, that's the problem. There's a little problem with that. But anyway, it's one of the occupational hazards. So the kids are, it's very serious. He says the Baal Tshuva is greater than a tzaddik when the Baal Tshuva knows he's a Baal Tshuva his whole life. And he never forgets his Averis. And it's bitter in his mouth. And Once he says that Tzadik said to one of his Talmidim, if you had an Aveira, you have to take it in the right vein. He said, I'm glad you didn't have Aveira. Because if you had no Aveira, so I'd be afraid that you'd be nichshel in a sin bigger than a sin. So the sin, Rabbi, what can be bigger than a sin? What sin can be bigger than a sin? Oh yes, said the Rabbi. Hagaiva vatzfius, arrogance and hypocrisy, and trying to look like something you're not. So that's bigger than sin. A sin is okay if you recognize a sin. A mistake is only an error if you don't learn from it, if you repeat it. So the Baal Tshuva knows his sins, chatasin negitamit, he's always humbled by it, he's great. And on him, it says, v'makam shebaal tshuva imdem, ein tzadik and gemurim yuchayim lamad. That's the word. So gemal tegazach. Of course, in other words, however, if you had a tzadik, who really never did any big sins, and was always doing tshuva his whole life on the kleinekaiten, he'd also be like a baal tshuva. V'shteitzach, the best thing is never to do aveiras, and to do tshuva like Rav Sadigon's tshuva, right? The tshuva that, with the innkeeper, Rav Sadigon went to the inn, and the innkeeper didn't recognize him, so he gave him a very crummy room, and he treated him with indifference, and he treated him like a shmata. Next day, everyone in the town comes to hear the Gadol HaDor of Sadigon's in town, and they come to the inn to greet him with the greatest kavod shayach. The innkeeper is mortified that he treated the Gadol HaDor with such an indifferent way. He's absolutely devastated. He throws himself at the feet of Sadigon crying, please forgive me. Sadigon, what'd you do wrong? Well, I didn't treat you properly. He didn't know who I was. He didn't know who I was. Yeah, he said, but that's the complaint. I should have known you were. I should have seen who you were. So today, I have charata. They treat you so bad. Yesterday, so badly because they didn't recognize you. I should have not recognized who you were. I should have had a better eye. Said Rav Sadigon, when he heard that, oy vey, I have to do tshuva now also. Because today, I'm going to hire my dragon yesterday. And today, I'm makir Hashem more than yesterday. So I have to do tshuva. Why wasn't I makir Hashem more clearly? Why didn't I realize my obligations to Hashem yesterday with the clarity I have today and with the urgency that I know today? So I didn't do Aveira yesterday. No, I never did Aveira. But my sin was, I still do tshuva, for not being makir Hashem yesterday as vividly and as clearly as I am today. That's also tshuva. So you can be a tzaddik gomer and still be a baal tshuva. That's avada, the best thing, shayach. But for the average person who is not on that madrega, so the baal tshuva who knows this, and all, you know, all of us are, really we're all baal tshuva status. The truth is today everyone's a baal tshuva. Really. Because we all do aveiras. The Baal Tshuva, some more aveiras, maybe he was really an ignorant, he didn't know the thing, Shanishba, didn't know anything. Actually, the Baal Tshuva was in a better position than we are, because we were FFB, we knew the truth, and we still didn't do what we were supposed to do. We did have an education, and we still strayed a bit. Now we're coming back in our old age, you know. I'm not Koyach this anymore, anyway, who has Koyach? So I can't afford to spend my money in slot machines. I got a mortgage to pay, right? So I have no Koyach to go to Las Vegas in the slot machines. But the Baal Tshuva never knew better. The tzaddikim are in big trouble. The FFBs are in big trouble. So you should all come baal tshuva. And there's more to remarker that take. So baal tshuva, so the word is baal tshuva. Baal tshuva means a master of tshuva. That means it's a lifetime profession. Then the baal tshuva is great. Now, of course, one more thing. The shalah says take on parshas naso. He brings us a desire kodesh on parshas naso. That the only way to really do tshuva is that a person should imagine in front of his eyes at all times the letters Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, and should feel that the letters Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei are on my head at all times. So if I walked in the street feeling that everyone's looking at me, they may not realize it, but they're seeing Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei over my head. Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha. But even after I take my tefillin off, I still am very Jewish, and Yudke Vavke is on my forehead, and Yudke Vavke is on atop my head. They don't maybe see it with their eyes, their optical eyes, the neshama sense. Any person that goes around like that believing the neshama sense is who it is. So we had this wonderful mukubel here last week in town. Never heard of him. Everyone says, is he for real? He's not for real. Somehow I looked at him, I said, this is for real. You could just see the shechina on this person. When he opened his mouth, he said some beautiful things, but that's not the main thing impressed me. I could say nicer things. He spoke, my Torah is nicer. My Torah is nicer, but he's for real. Because he has the shechina over him. Because he does not masir das on Yudke Vavke. And the Shalom says, and when he came there to Israel from Germany, there was a tzaddik in Tzfas who was reputed never have sinned in his life. Of course, the Gemara says only four people never sinned, right? Binyamin, Amram, right? Yishai, and David's son Kilav. The Gemara says four people never sinned. More on the Shabbos. One opinion says it's not Shayach, it's a pasuk. A tzaddik board says Yasav leyechta. One opinion says there's four people never sinned. Okay. This tzaddik was reputed to be like relatively never have sinned. And people asked him, how come you never sinned? He says, how could I sin? If I have Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Tamid, Yud Kei Vavke in front of my eyes, and I imagine that Yud Kei Vavke is over my head, so how could I sin? Wherever I go, I see Hashem. It's not worth it. And the Shalom says, well, she says, this is, so he says, that's why here in Perek Tes, the Chayvus Levava says that you'll never be about tshuva, he says, if you merely control your actions and even your words. And you learn Chavetz Chaim all day and all night, and you learn Shulchan Aruch all day and all night, you still won't be about tshuva, because there's a sug of averis that are ben adam lamakom that include not just kfira chas v'shalom, but hiruri avera, umachsheves resha, thoughts, nasty thoughts. Person has a lev ra, person has a bad heart, and he's angry at other people. In his heart, he smiles at people. In shul, in his heart, he can't stand them. He can't stand them. He'd love that they should break a leg or break a neck. He'd love they should get into a crash. He doesn't like this guy. He gets very frustrated, this guy. Whatever, all kinds of things he doesn't like about this person. And he has Mavsheves Resha. And he'd love to take revenge in the Tira, in the Kama. He'd love to revenge. This person once did something to him, or perceived something they did to him. Didn't invite him to his chasana. You didn't invite me to your chasana. You didn't invite me to your kent bar mitzvah. Ah, chutzpah. You are, you ignored me. Where am I? Chopped liver. And, it's not one of the things you'll hate somebody for. You'll hate somebody for doing an aveir. But if they're not inviting you to their bar mitzvah, or they didn't take a Shabbos to you, it's not nice. They should have taken a Shabbos. If they walked right past you and didn't take a Shabbos, it's not nice. But al pi halacha, you can't hate the person for that. Meanwhile, we're filled with hate. And we're filled with revenge. We're not going to do it because we're cowards. But in our daydreams, in our reveries, which, most of davening is filled with daydreams. So in our daydreams, it gives us this neighbor I can't stand. Gives me a lot of food for thought. Keeps my mind busy, at least. During the rabbi's speech, when I'm dozing off, at least I have something else to think about. So I can think of all the things I wish that would happen to this fellow who didn't invite me to his chasna and didn't take a Shabbos to me. And every now and then he brings guests to shul and takes my seat away. So this guy I really don't like. I hate this guy. He's terrible. Doesn't put books back in the bookcase either. There are all kinds of things I don't like. But these are not grounds for hatred. So says the Chazal Vavis, if a person's heart is filled with Machsheves Resha, Nekama, Netira, and you wish them bad, you wish other people bad. So he says, you'll never do tshuva, because the name of my book, he says, is Chavis Levavis. And I'm working on your heart. The purpose of my Sefer, says the Chavis Levavis, is not just to work on your hands and your head, and to tell you how to, for that you have a Shulchan Aruch. If you want to know what to do with your body and your hands, and your mouth, what kind of words you say? Sefirah Seimer, you should say Kriya Shema. That's a Shulchan Aruch. My sefer is a Shulchan Aruch of the heart, and I'm telling you that you must cleanse your heart of all this cancerous, stress-producing hatred, animosity, and resentment. So that's the beginning of doing tshuva, he says, to fill our hearts with looking at ourselves and being angry at ourselves. We spend so much time being angry at others that we have no time to be angry at ourselves. And the Gemara says that tshuva is called Tova Mardus Achas Beliba Shaladam Mimeya Makis. One self-imposed revolution in the heart. That I rebel against my Yetzirah. That I rebel against my past. That I rebel against my nasty nature. That they'll do me more good than 100 beatings. A self-inspired and self-kindled Hisayas to Tshuva, it's called a Mardus Beliba Shaladam, a revolution in my own heart to rebel against my past, rebel against my nasty self. That's worth more than a lot of things. It'll get us much further. And we can do it. The thing is that we've been doing it for so many years already. We let our minds be sloppy, and we allow all kinds of nasty things to enter our minds, and we think we can't control it. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that a person can retrain himself, a person can retrain themselves to think positive and think good, to think about other people. He says this right here, a person should think of ways to look for the good in people. Very hard. I'm so upset with this person. Very hard. I can't see anything good in this person. As far as I'm concerned, I wish I'd never see them again. As far as I'm concerned, they could be swallowed up like Kairach. I'd be very happy. I'd clap. But, says the Chazal Vavis, that you have to train yourself to say, I'm actually happy for them. You know, he didn't invite me to the Chasana. I'm still happy. Really? How can that be? I wish that couple get divorced in 2 weeks. What do you mean? I'm wishing them all the bad things in the world. He didn't invite me to the chasana. How can I wish him well for that shidduch? He didn't invite me to the chasana. What a chutzpah. How can that couple have any success? I wasn't there. So what kind of a chasana could that be? These are wicked people. These are terrible people. I wish them the worst. No. That's so geschmack. At least I got my heart. I have revenge. My heart. I'm enjoying this. Says the Chavos, you're sick, says the Chavos of Bavis. You are a very sick man. You better start thinking differently. And you can do it. You can do it if you try hard enough. You actually have to wish Mazel Tov to that person. Call him up. It's very hard. You're going to call him up and wish him Mazel Tov. Of course, if he asks you, how can you come to the Chasna? You invite me. But you can wish him Mazel Tov. But he didn't invite me. I wish him Mazel Tov anyway. Oh, you didn't. I can't do that. How can I do that? Wish him Mazel Tov. He didn't invite me. He ignored me. Call him up and wish him Mazel Tov. Oh, it's so hard. Please, Rabbi, anything. Rabbi, didn't you need $1,000 for your gemach or something for the kollel? I'd rather give $1,000 to the kollel. I can't call up and give Mazel Tov. Call him up. $2,000, Rabbi? How about to your new car fund, Rabbi? Your retirement plan, 3,000, call them up. You know, I can't be bought. You know, there's no. I start saying 5,000, I might start having second thoughts. But, I gotta call him. Oh, I can't do that. That's beyond me. I hate this guy. I hate him. He ignored me. He didn't invite me to his chasana. Yeah, he was punished because he didn't invite Manoah to his chasana. Yeah, Hashem punished him. Because he didn't invite him. Of course, there was a reason for it. Because Davka didn't invite Manoah. Because he said, Gemara said a very vulgar lashon. He said, this sterile mule, he'll never invite me back. So therefore, Boaz had never 60 children. I mean, 120 simchas was not pitakonas. He had 60 vorts and 60 chasnas. He should say, But now Avor is okay, he can have two things, he can have three. He was Alpi Takanas. He was Alpi Takanas, all the 60 kids died, Rahman Lutlan. Because he didn't invite Manoach and Slalfonis to the Chasnas. But for the reason was, he said, don't ever invite me back. That was nasty. So the question is, how could Boaz be so nasty? It's Pastish. So my explanation is that he really meant well. He said, how can I invite them to my 60 Simchas, 120, and they'll never invite me back? In other words, they'll have pain from it. I don't want to invite them for their own good. Since they know they'll never invite me back, it'll give them a terrible tsar. They'll be telling God, God, you know, this world is really not fair. He has 60 kids, 30 sons, 30 daughters, 120 simchas, and we have none. Is this fair? God, this is ridiculous. You have a terrible, terrible sense of fairness. 60, and we have zero. David Boaz didn't invite them. He says, I'll do them a favor. I won't invite them. I won't make it hard for them. Sakim is punished. So he meant, well, Sakim is punished. Terry says he was wrong. Because a Yid can rejoice that someone else is Simcha, even though he is, will never have his own Simcha. So I invited to my children's chasna, friends of ours who were married just the same time we were, and they have no children, and they're wonderful people, and they're great people, and I invited them to the chasna, especially, even flew them in from a different city. So I know that they rejoice in my Simcha. They'll never have a Simcha. And it's painful. I know it's very painful to them. On the one hand, not having children, it'll never go away. But on the other hand, I believe that they can rejoice in my Simcha. They might have some pain too. But I believe they can transcend that. And that's what a Yid is all about. So for Boaz, he meant well on one level. But to say, I'm not going to invite them because they have no children, they'll never invite me back. In other words, he didn't mean that in a vicious way. He meant, they can't invite me back, so it'll give them pain. That was wrong. It gives them more pain when they're not invited. Not to be invited is worse, so he did the wrong thing. But there's times that I can't invite everybody, you know? I can't invite everybody. And the truth of the matter is, after making a couple of chasas in my life, it's better to, when in doubt, invite. Don't invite. When in doubt, better to invite more than cut the list. Better to expand the list than not, because that's not worth it. It's not worth it. People who borderline cases, I got to draw the line someplace. I just can't invite the whole world. No, when in doubt, better to invite. Actually, better to invite. But it's true. Sometimes you have to draw the line. After all, you do have to draw the line. You have mechutanim who is not paying. The mechutan is paying, so he gave you the limits. He says you only invite 150 families, 150 couples. So what can I do? I really have to draw the line. He said the fairish can only have 150 people. Well, you can pay for it, though. So, the kids are, the Lamaisa, sometimes don't invite people. And they're very upset. Nevertheless, they are not allowed to hate you. So the Chabad Mo says, this is the challenge. And it's time of the reason why we didn't invite that person was a shtickle in the Shemayim. It was a challenge for them. That's how it worked out. So everything's a challenge in life. And if they have Agnes Nefesh, it's Bashert. Can't be otherwise. And therefore the Sefer Chinuch says that it's also to have revenge, to take revenge on somebody, because you should know that if somebody does something to you, it's really God that's doing it, not them. So ultimately the real reason why you weren't invited to the chasna, and you didn't have the covenant coming to this big chasna, is because Hashem decreed you shouldn't get this covenant. It's true. If the people who didn't invite you were wrong, that's not there on their part too. But if Hashem would have started this system, if Hashem would have not decreed that you will not be invited, then you would have been invited. It's only after Hashem said, I want to either punish you or test you. It can be either a punishment or a test. Sometimes it's a gift. If you're invited, you can save all night. I want to give you a gift. Chavzov says, everything in life can be one of three things. Either it's a gift. Money can be a gift. Money can be a punishment. And money can be a test. What do you think money is? Depends. All three. It could be all three too. Having money can be a punishment from Hashem. Could be it's a gift from Hashem, could be a test from Hashem, and it could be all three. But it's all from Hashem. So therefore, don't take revenge against the person who didn't invite you, says the Sefer Chinuch, because really it's from God ultimately. That person was just a shliach. Any rate, so therefore the Chavos Lakish says, if you want to do tshuva, we have to change our hearts and be angry at ourselves more than other people, angry at ourselves more than the Rebbeinu Shel. And the person who is constantly upset with himself or herself for having done an aveira and never forgets it and is always filled with remorse, that person is the Baal Tshuva, who is greater than any tzaddik, any smug tzaddik can ever possibly be.